All right, good morning, everybody. First off, I want to thank you all for showing up today. I think in order for our tribe to be successful and be strong, move forward, we need everybody's input. We need everybody's support, all the strength, all the knowledge, all the ideas that come together. It'll make us all stronger and better and more successful. So I think on behalf of the whole council, it's definitely a honor to serve you as your elected leaders. We thank you all for the opportunity to do that. I kind of want to start by just sharing kind of an overview of some highlights of all the things that we've been working on. As tribal leaders, we cover a lot of different areas. I also first want to mention that we want to really try to stick to our agenda today. We want to get through all the reports and updates in the morning and then give you guys, everybody, a chance to ask questions and provide input in the afternoon. And so if we can just kind of, you know, respect each of our speakers, one person at a time speaks. And also if we can limit our comments to 3 to 5 minutes, but once everyone else gets a chance, you can come back and offer more comments. So we want to keep the meeting orderly, respectful. Please refrain from any, you know, shouting, yelling, cussing. We'd appreciate that. So the first thing I would like to cover on behalf of the council is our fiscal year 2026 budget. We're happy that we were able to approve the budget before the fiscal year started. So we have an approved budget. Within that, I'm really thankful that the Tribal Council has prioritized educational benefits for our youth. So with that, we have Indian Health Service carryover money we're using to hire 5 new staff members at Tribal Education that will be in the schools. And so we're working. Hopefully the wages will be competitive. There's a couple things we got to finish up on the fringe for that. But what we're looking at is one supervising health and wellness coordinator in the schools, kind of like a tutor. That'll be $52,000 a year. And then 4 positions under that are about $45,000 a year. So the wages are fairly competitive for that type of work. If you guys know people to apply, please encourage them to do so. We're really excited about that. We've also set aside $115,000 to complete the skate park this year. So that's been something that has been long desired in the community, a lot of support for that project over the years. And so this council wants to get that done. Same with the wage scale. We're happy that we're going to be implementing a wage scale this year so that things are a little more fair and competitive, hopefully, across the board going forward. Again, it's something that's been talked about for years, but now we actually have something approved, and so it'll be a little bit of work to implement that, but we're heading in the right direction there. Same thing with the 20-year strategic plan. You know, it's been lacking for many years. We currently have a request for proposal out in the newspaper to get a Hoopa tribal member living on the reservation who can coordinate the needs assessments, community meetings, working with the council, and really provide some strong direction for the tribe over the next 20 years so that no matter who's up here, we still have direction that's driven by the membership and the desires of the community. So that's another positive that I see. Same with the small business support. Leftover ARPA funds, I think it's around $268,000. We're getting ready to put out an RFP to provide grant money for local tribal member small businesses. Preference will be given to those small businesses who have proposals to fix up some of the properties downtown. So we have the old Laura's Kitchen building, we have the old Thunderbird building, the old Club Hoopah. And so if people have business ideas, please submit a proposal that'll be ran through self-governance. We also have hired an executive director, Juliet Maestas, Dr. Juliet Maestas. And that's, again, something that will help the tribal council get more work done. you know, somebody that can work with our managers more closely, and it frees the council up to advocate back in D.C. and set the goals and all those sorts of things. So we think that we can get more work done with an executive director, as well as we have hired a new public information officer. So that person will be coming in. We'll have an announcement on that shortly. Also, we have raised some of the wages for the lowest paid employees. We had a few that were still at 15. I think most of those were raised up to $17 an hour, particularly our elder services program. Those folks are really low paid, so we wanted to prioritize more competitiveness for the people that serve our elders most closely. We're also starting up a 501c3 nonprofit for the youth. The goal here is to get people that are really motivated to serve our youth and get them together, start a committee, and they can really go after fundraising with philanthropy, private foundations. That'll hopefully take some of the burden off the council as it relates to supporting eighth grade, safe and sober, sports teams, any extracurricular activities for the youth. And so we're going to have a meeting next month on that. Well, there will be an announcement if you're interested in joining. We'll need board members. We'll need people that are really motivated, that can volunteer time and work with tribal staff and tribal council to write grants and raise funding, all for the benefit of our youth. Looking at our for-profit businesses, one of the big things that we know we need is some new equipment, particularly for roads and HFI. Merwin is here today, our CEO from HFI, and he's got some proposals. We're looking at trying to find ways to fund for new equipment. One of the things that we've seen, and I appreciate our forest manager, new forest manager, Clarence Bubadoo Hostler, you know, there was a report put out from the state of Oregon where the state of Oregon has actually reduced their workforce in logging by 75%. Yet because of the new equipment they use, they actually have more output of logs. And so that really highlights our shortfall at HFI, where we have old equipment and large crews, and we're not able to get out enough logs. And so trying to move in the direction of new equipment, there may be opportunities through the Tribal Nations Grant Fund. It'll be a competitive process, but, you know, things, you know, we have to do things differently as it comes to that. So we'll be working on those things as well. Same for tribal roads. A lot of old equipment down there. We're going to have to be more efficient, crush more rock, get more scheduling. We'll hear a little more from Denoto on the changes that are coming there. Mr. Oscar Billings, our manager there, has decided to retire. So October 31st will be his last day, so we're going to be looking for a new manager at Tribal Roads. Same with Lucky Bear Casino. A lot of changes in the works with Lucky Bear. You know, we're trying to get more events scheduled there. They're going to start having karaoke nights, more dances, potentially some MMA cage fights, Monday night football with good food. Trying to create more excitement, more entertainment, just to get people there for events so that they could spend more money there and, you know, make it more of an attractive location. So Lucky Bear Casino, trying to do things differently. Same with Hoopa Development Fund. We're looking at hiring a new director there and getting that opened. I believe the interviews have been set for the 30th of this month. So it's coming along there. Motel, unfortunately, the timeline has been pushed back on the motel construction. Hoping to have it done by the end of November, I believe, but we still haven't gotten any bids for management. So there's a request for proposal for someone to come in and manage the motel and be a contractor rather than hire a employee. And we haven't gotten any bids, so if anybody knows anybody that can do that, please let them know. As far as our for-profit managers, we're trying to pursue a new structure on that so that each for-profit manager has a contract where they have incentives to be able to you know, get a bonus if they make more money. So, you know, being able to have incentives, benchmarks that need to be hit within their contracts. There is a draft for these contracts. We haven't finalized it just yet, but it is coming. As far as managers go, we have meetings, managers meetings regularly. So we've had meetings with all tribal managers. We've had meetings that were broken out amongst, you know, you have your natural resources departments, your for-profit, your social services and education. Just trying to get our managers to work closely, you know, work with each other more. Over the years, we've heard a lot about silos. People, you know, our managers sometimes work in silos. They're not coordinating with each other. So we're trying to cut down on that. So we've been having the managers meetings. We also restarted some elders task force meetings. So all the folks that work with elders, whether that be tribal police, Kamau Medical Center, elder services, food distribution, roads, all those departments that come in contact with our elders are now working together more closely. We've identified some opportunities. In fact, we're gonna have an Elders Firewood Volunteer Day next Saturday, the 25th. I believe Ferris has the flyer. It's over here. So we'd like some volunteers. If you can split wood, load wood into your truck, dump it off, it'll help the elders. So trying to make sure they stay warm. We did put it in the notes as well. We asked Kamau with their hospital at home team that goes out and visits elders. Survey all the homes and determine who needs HVAC, heating, cooling. For this next year, we want to figure out a way to help our elders in that way, because a lot of the kerosene heaters that were given out about 20 years ago are now getting to be obsolete. One of our nurses told us that over 50% of our elders did not have air conditioning this past summer. And so that's a little scary, because we know how hot it gets if you don't have air conditioning in your home here in the summertime. So we're trying to address that as well. Talked to Rhonda at enrollment. She has a giving tree idea, trying to get donations for elders ahead of the wintertime, whether that be blankets, socks, anything, a nice little food basket, whatever you may have that can help out elders. Rhonda is collecting donations at tribal enrollment, so that's a pretty neat idea. She can share more with you on that. This coming week, we have the cultural fire meeting. We have the fire department, forestry, TIPO, everyone that's involved with cultural fire. We're going to get them to the table and try to get some more burning done. For our cultural practitioners and fire prevention work, all the things that are benefits from cultural fire is coming on up. Also want to acknowledge Rob Roy from OES, Office of Emergency Services. So he went out and got a $3 million grant. So he's got some neat projects coming up. He's going to be fixing up some of our traditional villages. Also, we want to fix up the old Valley Inn restaurant, hopefully get that going, bid it out. Several projects, I think a roof for this building. Rob Roy can tell you more about that. So good things in the works there. We've also asked our new self-governance coordinator, Megan Baldy, to work with us. We're working on a strategic plan for our prioritization of advocacy in both Washington, D.C. and Sacramento. You know, we want to have representation in D.C. We've got to be able to advocate for our rights, for our authorities, and knowing what to target, who the main contact people are in various areas, whether that be for USDA food sovereignty, our fishing rights, BIA funding, all those things that matter in Washington, D.C., and also assigning points of authority within the tribe. So who's going to handle certain areas? You know, having a good plan and making sure the membership is aware of what our plans and our operations are around that area. That's another area. The agricultural and land use and climate resiliency plans are coming along. You know, one of the things that came to light around these plans is tribal sovereignty. So recently we had meetings with the Yurok tribe. We've had meetings with Two Feathers. And what we're looking at is MOUs to make sure that these folks, when they come onto the reservation and they have any kind of development, it has to be approved by the council. They can't just move forward with these things. I understand that former council member Daniel Jordan had put together a document that says anybody who wants to buy up our land on the reservation, if they're not a tribal member, if they're not the tribe, we're working on trying to get a $200,000 entry fee so that if you want to do business and buy a land on the reservation, you got to put $200,000 up front just to enter into that market, because we can't be like the United States where China and these outside forces are coming in to buy up all the land here. You know, we got to put a stop to it. And, you know, it's nothing against Two Feathers. I think that they have, you know, some good programming and stuff as well. The problem there is that, you know, they're moving ahead on things without the tribe's input, and oftentimes taking funding away from the tribe as they use our data, our statistics. And, you know, they need to at least work with us on that and get the tribe's input on it before they move forward. So we're working on ways to kind of hedge that off a little bit. The other thing is that we work with a lot of outside partners. So I want to make sure everybody is aware that part of our work is making sure that we're working good with our outside partners. So I'll just name a few of those off. One of them is the Bureau of Reclamation. They're the department within the federal agency within the Department of Interior who controls the dams and the water. And so the Bureau of Reclamation regional director was here for the boat dance. We've had, you know, ongoing meetings with those folks. They are sharing some funding opportunities with us. We pushed on certain things. I give Mike a lot of credit. We're working on consolidating the weir. So instead of our fish having to swim through three different weirs, there really should only be one, because it brings stress to the fish. And so they've agreed, I think, to take out maybe one of them. They've also agreed to pay a good portion of our weir costs. We're working on temperature control. There's some things up at the dam that can be done to help improve the temperature of the water for fish. So we work with those folks. We had the Northern California Regional Director for PG&E here the other day. There's a follow-up meeting on the 29th. So we're working on making sure that PG&E is not encroaching too much on our sovereignty, trying to cut down on electricity costs for our members. They have programming like generators for elders and different things that we're trying to tap into. So we work with PG&E. The same with the Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District. We have a meeting this coming week, I believe, with the school board. I'll be over at the elementary school alongside Mr. Boyd Ferris to meet with the elementary school principal this coming week. Yesterday, we hosted a career fair at the high school. That was pretty awesome. It was really nice to see our tribal departments there encouraging our youth to get into careers with the tribe. So the first person I saw outside was J.W. Mooney. He had his excavator out there and his John Deere tractor. And showing, he had some awesome pictures of all the work that plant management's done over the years, whether that be in the snow, you know, lifting logs out of people's houses. You know, fisheries was there promoting careers with those folks. There was a lot of neat stuff, tribal education, sharing opportunities with our youth. So having a stronger presence for the tribe in the school district, I think it's been picking up, and we want to continue that momentum. We had a meeting recently with Cal Poly Humboldt and College of the Redwoods trying to implement our MOU. So we have things in that language that says that they can help us with needs assessments in the community, also with interns. You know, we can get like graduate student interns that can help us with marketing and different things like that, get some of our own tribal students into internships through those schools. And also Cal Poly Humboldt announced that they received a large donation for Hoopa tribal members. So Hoopa tribal members should be able to go to Cal Poly Humboldt in the future, tuition free. And so they're going to be able to pay for that. So they wanted to announce that. You should see more on that coming up in the future. Caltrans recently let us know they want to have quarterly meetings with the tribe. Indian Health Service, we're working on negotiations with those folks. Clarence Hostler is working on a master stewardship agreement with the U.S. Forest Service. He recently put in a large proposal to manage a lot of Bureau of Land Management land in our ancestral territory to the west. We've completed letters. We met with the Humboldt County Sheriff, and we've sent letters to BIA, Drug Task Force, and the FBI for assistance in drug enforcement on the reservation. So we're reaching out on the law enforcement end. We've also met with CHP. We're part of the Self-Governance Advisory Committee for both the Department of Interior as well as Indian Health Service back in D.C. We're also keeping a close eye on online gaming. We recently had meetings over in Reading this last week, and there's a lot of opportunity coming up with online gaming. Right now, it's a matter of collecting the information and figuring out which direction we want to support, either partnering with DraftKings and some of these other outside online gaming entities, or working more closely with tribes and trying to develop our own. There's pros and cons to each. But we'll keep you guys updated on that as we get closer to a decision. You know, certainly we can provide more information on that. We want to have your input, but it may be an opportunity after the 2028 state election where each tribe can get anywhere from $5 to $17 million. I think what we are discussing is maybe making it so that the amount of money is related to the amount of tribal members that you have, because there's an unfairness when you have tribes over in Modoc County. There's a tribe in Modoc County that has, I heard, maybe 6 members, and, you know, Big Lagoon's got 35 members. A lot of tribes that are less than 1,000 members, and yet they're in line to get just as much money as us, and they don't have nearly the amount of land to manage or the people to serve. And so there's a real inequality there. But what was stated is the danger in that is that some of these smallest casinos in Southern California who are taking in most of the revenue, if you make it based on the size of your tribe, they may just walk away from the table. So we got to figure out, you know, how to approach that. So that'll be a big one coming up. We are kicking around the ideas of a surcharge. A 3 to 5% increase on cigarettes and alcohol and sugary drinks that can be allocated towards the youth or to business opportunities. You know, there hasn't been any decisions made on that. The same with the reorganization plan, creating different divisions within the tribe, like our natural resources division, our for-profit division, social services division, where you have specific people overseeing that, reporting to the council, so it's not just myself and the council overseeing 50 departments at once. It'd be a little more streamlined. These are just ideas. Nothing has been finalized. The same with the 4-day work week. That is on the agenda, but it would need to go through LPA, so tribal members would have the opportunity to give input. And so that's pretty much everything I have to share today. Of course, we're open to answer questions. Hopefully, we can do that in the afternoon more so. And at this time, I'll turn it over for departmental reports. So I believe we had tribal police on. Are you ready to give a little update, James? We'll go with you first. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. James McCovey, Chief of Police for the Hoopa Valley Tribal Police Department. This is my first time doing a public speaking as chief of police, so bear with me. Kind of nervous, so. Starting with our budget, the total budget would be $2,840,280. $755,691 of that's from grants. Compact would be $1,944,589 with $140,000 in agreements. That comes from fire, the EMS, to provide services through dispatch. Our additional needs, additional officers, the ones we have right now, it's hard to cover the patrol side of things and to enforce our resources. Our resources are real valuable to us, so we need to start enforcing that more, coverage, more patrol, so we can protect those resources. Additional vehicles for the additional officers comes along with equipment, communication equipment, but more additional body cameras. Officers are equipped with body cameras, so they should have them on all the time. If not, please let me know. I'll address that. And the need for remote surveillance systems for our high crime and arson areas, so we can have, you know, video, because we can't be there all the time to patrol. If we're on one side of the valley, more likely something's going to happen on the other. So having more surveillance out there will help us with that. Right now, I have my lieutenant position is vacant. I did put it out there. So I will be hiring somebody for that. Right now, my Sergeant Arlen Doolittle, he is in charge of the five officers I do have on duty. The five officers, and I have two security. Right now, I have three of my officers are on night shift. Now I have two officers during the week. So I only have one on during the daytime to enforce resource, doing patrol, calls for service. So it's kind of difficult for me and my officers to do patrol and, you know, protect our resources at the same time. It's hard to be out in a mountain and leaving our valley not covered. So I did have my security officers. They are now certified to do resource protection. So if you see them out there, let them know, hey, there's somebody over here not supposed to be there. They can go address that. So they are now certified to protect our resources and do patrol. They've been out in the river contacting non-tribe members. They are supposed to be having a permit to have access to our river and our mountains. So, and that is supposed to be displayed on the driver, on the dashboard of the vehicle. So if you see a vehicle you don't think it's a tribal member, call us. We'll go take a look, okay? Because you guys are just as important to us to enforce everything, so we can't do it without you. There have been some things that came to my attention that I need to work on with my department, my officers, my dispatch. So I will be providing extra training for those who need it, because some treatment to child members came to my attention that is not okay with me and shouldn't happen. So if you do have bad experience with my officers, please let me know. They are to conduct themselves in a manner to where they should be respectful, okay? So please let me know. Last month, we did do 144 patrol checks within the valley, resource checks. Like I said, we never had any officers to enforce that, so the resource checks were pretty low at 17. The medical is gone down quite a bit. It's still 118 calls for this year, but like we're trying, we're getting out there. I will be hiring additional officers. The tribe allows me to put that in my budget this year for additional officers. I'm trying to hire two officers, three more security. Once my security certified, they will be doing resource also. And two of my officers are in the process of being cross-advertised with county, so we'll have more state jurisdiction. Because right now I'm only at one officer with state powers to enforce state jurisdiction. So, and then I do have a CIT, a critical incident team. Dawn Cummins, she's my coordinator for that. She is doing really great things, especially with the children. She's in the school. She was able to get a spot at the resource center there. She's working with the courts for the and she's helping them. She's doing a lot of great things, but I ask her to come up and speak on that, please.
Well, I'm surprised. I didn't know I was going to get called up here, but here I am. We all know I'm never really short for words anyway. I've really enjoyed this position since I started. It was actually the end of December, first part of January. I've tried to base a lot of what I'm doing according to the needs of the meetings that I have. I have monthly meetings that are collaboration meetings that are interdepartmental. Kamau Medical Center is quite often there. Among many other agencies, the primary goal of my presence there is to promote treatment and help to our community members as opposed to incarceration, with a heavy focus on mental health. So when we have issues and things happen within our community here, and Tribal Police identifies that there's a need for both substance abuse and or mental health. I also collaborate a lot with behavioral health, the MAT team, Ryan Zumo a lot. I am working in the wellness center over at the school. We have a huge area that has to be bridged where our youth are concerned in dealing with the diagnosis of issues and things that are going on. When you're dealing with youth that have long-term, be it vicarious trauma or trauma, they need to be dealt with differently than necessarily some of the other kids in school. They learn differently. We have to approach them differently. We have youth that are somewhat nonverbal. We have to learn how to communicate. And I'll tell you one of the biggest things. Individuals, whether they're adults or youth, that are the hardest ones to work with are the ones that need our help the very most. So together as a community, we can be there for each other. I did put in the back a difference between hallucinations and delusions and how to approach people in some paperwork that I put out. We've got to start widening the understanding so that we can embrace one another and begin to heal. Any questions?
All right, thank you, Don. So, yes, if you have any questions or want to talk to me, call us or come in. My door is always open, willing to talk to anybody, open to suggestions. I'm new at this chief of police position. I've been here for 10 years, but you know, the admin side is pretty new to me. Law enforcement side, I'm very capable of handling that. But any suggestions, comments, or concerns, please come see me. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Appreciate our tribal police. You know, these guys, men and women, they put their lives on the line every day for our safety. So thank you, guys. We wanted to try to hold our questions till the afternoon. We want to get through our departmental presentations. Danny did have a question. I'll let Danny go since he's earned his stripes here.
thank you. James, you're not cross-deputized, right? Doesn't make you a bad officer, makes you a better officer. We got to deal with this criminal jurisdiction of the Hoopa tribe, that we need to empower these people to do their jobs. We need holding cells in Hoopa. We need to be able to, even the doctors at Kamau said, wait, they need a place to where if they have to get somebody who is having a health problem or a behavior problem, put them in a tribal holding cell. Give our people the ability to do their job. The tribal police should not be asking the county for permission to put somebody in a county holding cell. We need one here. When we were doing this in 2017, Hoopa was the third tribe to actually have the ability to deal with Public Act 280. The BIA actually had their jail team to help us design the jail. I've done public car 280 stuff 5 times, and every time it stops at the council table. We need to help these people. We need to have our officers. These are sovereign officers. Sovereignty starts at home. We need to deal with law enforcement, drug problems and things. We need to stop the deterioration of HOOPA. We need to be able to enforce our own criminal laws against everybody, Indian and non-Indian.
Thank you, Danny. Let's go ahead and have our force manager come up. Babadu, are you ready?
Hi, I'm Clarence Hostler. I'm the new force manager in HOOPA. I have been working here in HOOPA since May. And so since then, I've been trying to get my feet underneath of me, learn about the people, learn about our capacity at HOOPA Forestry, and how to navigate through the tribal administrative process. In the last few months, I've definitely learned a lot. I feel like I need to learn a lot more. The exciting part is I see a lot of opportunity in the field of forestry and engaging in, with the Forest Service to our west, or our east, and our south, and entering into some long-term stewardship agreements to do forest restoration work on our ancestral lands in those areas. And so that's exciting to get into. And as well as Joe mentioned that we recently submitted a proposal to enter into a 20-year stewardship agreement with the BLM to our west for their 9,000 acres of federal lands there. So we're hopeful for doing that. And in those stewardship agreements, we'll have great opportunity to sort of create economic opportunity for the tribe and others within our community, as well as steer the restoration that happens on those lands to better meet the tribe's values. So that's exciting to me. I'm really, you know, I don't know if this is the appropriate place to express it, but I really feel happy to be back home after and practicing forestry in our homeland here after practicing forestry for 35 years elsewhere. I've always wanted to return to HOOPA and kind of dig into our homeland. So I'm having an opportunity to do that, so I appreciate the council's giving me that opportunity. At forestry, we have, you know, about 30 to 35 employees, depending on the week. I've learned that these 30 or so employees are very dedicated at what they're doing. They're mostly people that are from HOOPA. They care a lot about our land and about their job, so I'm really excited about that aspect of it. I didn't really know what to expect before I got here. We're divided at forestry into 7 departments: the timber department, wildlife, kind of the typical forestry departments, timber, wildlife, planning, geographic information systems. We have silviculture, a fuels department. We also have this equipment division that we're developing to help us update and improve our capacity for doing restoration work on and off our reservation lands. Another exciting part is that, as you all know, that we've had a forest management plan that's largely gone unchanged. I mean, there's been some minor revisions to it over the last 30 years, but we've been operating under this forest management plan for 30 years. And we're preparing to embark on making an update or revision to that plan. I don't foresee huge changes, but there might be some really important changes that will be involved there. So as with any forest land and resource management plan, we're always accepting comments and input on those plans. So if you ask, like, when can we submit comments, it's always and forever. We'll continually accept comments so that when we make updates to those plans or implement projects, we can consider those comments in those decisions. As part of preparing to make updates to the forest management plan, we're embarking on a detailed evaluation of our timber inventory. Over the last 30 years, we haven't looked closely and in depth at our timber inventory, even though 30 years ago we did a really close look then. But as we are operating out there and harvesting trees and fires have come through, it's changed the amount of trees that we have out there on the landscape, and it might change our annual allowable cut under a sustained basis here. So we're taking a close look at that. We have an economist from the University of Oregon or Oregon State looking at that. We're talking with him this next week about some of the first steps there and running different scenarios through models to project out different pathways for the next 30 years. Let's see, what else do I have in here? I mentioned forest restoration opportunities on and off our reservation. We can do those on the reservation, creating kind of in tandem with our timber harvest, creating, you know, acorn orchards and berry patches and burn areas with bear grass and other basket materials. So we're definitely weaving that into the forest plan. Looking forward, even though that's in there, I'd like to see a more sort of prominent effort there. And like Joe mentioned, we're going to have a discussion, I think, this coming couple of weeks about some cultural burning. Let me see. I need these now after 40 years. So, another aspect that these stewardship agreements that I mentioned bring, when I mentioned stirring economic activity in our area, not only, you know, it's part of that economic activity is bringing jobs to our people that are fair paying jobs. And that's a thing that I noticed when I arrived in Hoopa, that there's really hardworking people at the forestry department and elsewhere working for pretty and barely getting by with their salaries. So when I've, in the last month or so, when I've submitted these proposals to the Forest Service as well as Bureau of Land Management, there was a little bit of, I definitely incorporated fair paying jobs in there. And so I think that's a huge, it's not that money is everything, because that's not what we're about, but we need to be healthy and comfortable in our jobs. And that's a big component of that. And people to be able to come to work, be able to feel secure that they'll be able to feed their families and provide a home for their families, you know, when they go home at the end of the day. The stewardship agreements would also stimulate economic activity for the tribe to be able to update equipment that we are in much need of. As Joe mentioned, we need more efficient equipment that can produce small logs quickly, as opposed to what we've been used to moving large logs around more slowly. In general, our forest plan for the next 30 years will be to log smaller logs in a thinning manner rather than so much clearing the land off and starting a new stand of trees for the next generation. Let me look here. I submitted, I wasn't sure what to submit when I got a notice to submit a report for the general meeting, so I just made a list of some of the things that forestry, some of the projects that we have going on in the near future and long term. I'm not going to go through every single one of these, but you can look at that at your leisure. But just, you know, timber sales on the reservation are important and on people's minds here, because we have HFI kind of struggling to kind of make kind of remain solvent, and we need HFI. We need a strong logging company on our reservation to conduct, to manage our forests, whether it's for a lot of profit or even if it's for break even. So sometimes, it's a much needed entity for our tribe. In the past 10 years, you know, I have a little bit of data here in the last 5 years, but over the last 10 years, we've logged in Hoopa about 4.5 million board feet a year, which is about half of our annual allowable cut. This year, we've since I got here, it was about 5 or 6 months ago. We've logged about 6 million board feet, and the remaining, and we have another 6 million board feet put in active timber sales that will get finished either in the next month or the first part of next year. We don't have, and then we have another, I'll call it shelf volume, of planned timber sales ready to go, about 9 million board feet that have the potential to be sold next summer and be logged over the next 2 years after that. And in the interim, in the next 6 or 7 months, we'll know more about our detailed forest inventory to be able to recalculate how much our annual allowable cut would be in a sustained basis, and we'll be able to project those and start planning more. One of the things I'd like to do that's different than what I saw was done in the past is have these annual environmental assessments that sort of authorize the sale of timber. Instead of doing that on an annual basis, I'll try to move to either a 5 or 10 or even a 15-year plan, so we're not bogged down by completing permits or documentations on an annual basis. We'll try to do that on a 10-year basis, or at least maybe hopefully 15-year basis. I ran this idea past like the Bureau of Indian Affairs. I'm getting some traction at about the 15-year mark. Although, you know, of course, I proposed to them initially to do it on a 50-year basis, but I got some pushback there, even though I know it can be done because I've done it elsewhere in the last 30 years. But that'll help improve our efficiency here and stability in knowing how much volume that we'll be able to harvest on the reservation any given year. I think that's about, I don't want to dive into too much more. I think that'd wrap it up. If there's any questions, I guess we're taking a couple questions now and a lot more questions later. Is that the plan? Okay, later. Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Appreciate that. One of the things I really appreciate about Clarence, you know, he worked for NOAA and some federal agencies for many years, and he said he's seen grants come in from the Hoopa tribe before where the wages that are proposed are all really low, $16 an hour and so forth and so on, and then other agencies will also provide the same grant applications but much higher wages, and the agency will approve them all. And so he's saying, you know, Hoopa, we need to up our wages and all of our proposals to these agencies. Also identified things where other agencies will bill for the use of their vehicles. And we hadn't previously done that, so we're getting into that now where we can charge for the use of our vehicles on these jobs and different things. So it's been some good positivity in the right direction there. All right, so with that, we'll go ahead and go to HFI. We have Merwin here today, and we'll turn it over to him.
Well, as he pulls that up, I'll just go forward with the presentation. Hoopa Forest Industries has been exploring a new era in logging with the transition into second growth. For a long time, we've been blessed with old growth logging. We're changing. We have to still manage our forest in respect to keeping it fire resilient. So we continue to explore new logging styles. So we had to sub out a great portion of our logging to a mechanical style logging operation. So we are not equipped to do that yet. With what we had that HFI was able to log and the old style logging was probably about 2.5 to 3 million board feet. We got 1.5 million of that. We were still actively logging the last million. We had an issue earlier this year with some EA stuff that the BIA did not sign off on our timber sale. So there's about 2 months that we didn't log, didn't send any timber out. That was kind of a big burden on us. One of the things that we were able to do in that time frame was do some other operational jobs, working with PUD. We did a cell tower site on Deerhorn. We were able to clear roughly an acre of land, build a pad, harvest the trees, build a road. We also work with Hoopa Forestry on the red salmon hazard tree removal up on the Mill Creek trailhead area where the red salmon fire went through. So there was a bunch of hazard trees up there that we were able to fell, tractor pile, hand pile and just clean it up, make it safe. So that was part of our other income. We were also able to work with fisheries with their restoration. They require 30-foot stems with root wads attached for fish habitat. So we're able to gather up a bunch of stems, we call them, for fisheries. That's still in the process. We have them staged at our yard. Hopefully that'll go through soon and they can implement them in their creeks. So with our logging downsizing into a second growth, smaller volume for our conventional logging, we're looking at these other revenues, we call them other revenues, as contractual. So with what the forest manager says, hopefully being able to do these other contractual things outside of the reservation or on the reservation, depending on who has the funds for it, whether it be the BIA or the Forest Service. We are definitely looking into using those as other revenues to try to keep us solvent. So as Joe said earlier, we're still actively looking for funding for a feller buncher and a wood processor for second growth logging. That is key. Without a processor, the hand cleaning of these trees, it's not feasible. Hopefully we can get there. Like you said, we're still looking for the different grants. There's been a couple that passed by us that we put proposals in for. Unfortunately, we weren't accepted, but we will still continue to find something. We got to get there. I mean, no matter how we do this, our forest still needs to be managed. I believe that with fire management and forest restoration stuff, logging, I mean, that's why our forests have been protected as much as it has. I mean, there's been catastrophic fires all around us, and luckily, we've been pretty safe in that aspect. And I do believe that it's from all the logging roads, all the past timber sales that we have where we have barriers, because we have had fire approach our reservation, but with that in place, our firehouse, you know, we were able to stop it, and it's been a good thing. So we would need to continue to do that. We needed to continue to manage our forest. So firewood is a huge aspect for our elders. As you all know, HFI delivers probably a good 80% of the firewood to the elders of our valley. We have I'm a big community member. I try to help out where I can. I'm a coach with youth programs. Try to advocate for elders when I can. So continuing this firewood program for them is huge. So we're working with forestry to try to figure out, as we go into a full second growth logging scheme, where's that firewood going to come from? How are we going to keep that in our mill, in our logging areas to make sure that we still have firewood for everybody? That's something that we're working on. We'll continue to push for that to make sure that nobody's freezing. One of the programs that HFI does, not only for elders, but we do help out single families, folks with disabilities, where some of the other programs don't help with firewood. We tend to pick that up. I don't know if a lot of you know that, but we most of our winter, our guys, one or two guys that are off is delivering firewood to those folks that are in need, where they don't have funding or help from anybody else. We kind of step up and take that on. And we'll continue to do that. I'm not going to turn anybody down if they really, really need it. I mean, if we have the capability of doing it, we will. Working with Clarence, we're trying to figure out a ratio of how much HFI logs, how much we could ship out to a contract logger for the second growth at this time, since we are not there yet with our equipment. So that's an ongoing process, ongoing meetings. We still need to fill our mill to keep our mill going and try to get the best dollar we can from our older growth timber. So I believe the direction we're going is not to commercially sell our old growth, but to mill it ourselves and try to get a higher dollar for it and plus create jobs in the meantime. One thing with our mill right now, it's fully funded by a grant. All the equipment was grant funded, no match funding, so it was like 100% grant funded. No tribal dollars really have been used in that sense, so that's a blessing right now. So we're going to continue to try to push this thing to make it a profitable entity too in itself. I do have a new sawmill manager, Saban Olin Van Pelt. I'll have him come up and introduce himself and kind of give a overview of what the mill's been doing and where we're at. With that being said, understand that the last 3 months, it's been a learning curve for him and his crew, because all of our older fellas that been there had left. So it's been a learning curve. We got new equipment coming in. We've been cleaning up the site, prepping to put new equipment in place. We had a big electrical grid put in, per se. So we went from a three-phase to a four-wire 480 or something like that. We could pretty much run any kind of tool or machine that we need to with the infrastructure we have in place now. But I'll turn it over to him to introduce himself to you guys and give a little overview.